We live in a world where most people are focused on being blessed. You know, sometimes we pray, Lord, bless me and my family and no more. Anyway, they want God to answer their prayers, meet their needs, and pour out his favor. And God absolutely wants to bless his children. He is a good father who delights in giving good gifts. But here's the truth, church. God doesn't just bless us for ourselves. He blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 2 says this, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. The word tells us that we shall be a blessing. He didn't just say that he would bless us. He said he would make us a blessing. God's heart is not just to get something to us, but to get something through us. You know, my grandfather said he never prayed that God, say, God bless me, but he prayed every day, God, make me a blessing to somebody. So the title of my message today is Be a Blessing. Be a Blessing. You know, the motto of this church, and I brought the motto back because we changed the motto and I changed it back just because I didn't like the last one. Anyway, that's a whole nother marketing thing. We'll talk about that later on in my sermon. Not about the church, but marketing. Anyway, but the motto of this church is to bring hope, help, and healing to the world or to our world. You realize the world doesn't mean, you know, I have the distinct privilege to travel all over the world. But you know what? Your world is where you live. In your neighborhood, your friends, your family. You know, if you happen to live in an apartment complex, you have the opportunity to be around lots of people. All right? You know, just because you live in close proximity to a world of people. Some need a blessing. All right? Anyway, like I said, Brother Hagin always said, make me a blessing. But do we pray that all the time? You know, sometimes I think about things. You know, I'm kind of different. I think about things other people don't. You know, I'm thinking about what if I was God, and I'm not God, okay? Just want to let you know that. But, you know, if I was God, I would kind of get tired of every time that someone prays, all they do is ask for stuff. I mean, it seems the only time, you know, and that's why we should be more thankful. And the Bible talks about, you know, thank God for what he's done. It's okay to ask him, but, you know, sometimes it seems the only time that some of us pray is when we need something. When we need something. And you know, but you know, sometimes we should just, you know, just thank God for what he's done. And but we are called to be a blessing. All right, point number one, we are blessed to be a blessing. You know, Abraham is our covenant father. And God told him, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. That same blessing is on us today through Christ. You know, obviously, you know, Galatians 3:29 says this, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are the children of Abraham. Thus, one of my favorite songs in children's church that I still sing today is Father Abraham had many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham. And you go right arm and left arm. Anyone remember that children's church? To this day, I'll hum the song. And you can ask anyone around me. I don't know why. I sing the song all the time. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm weird, okay? So, but you know, it says that means the blessings of Abraham is ours. And the purpose is not just to accumulate, but to distribute God's goodness everywhere we go. Abraham was called to be a blessing. He was blessed to be a blessing. That's our spiritual heritage, to be a blessing to a lost and dying world. You know, like I said, we say, well, Abraham's blessings are ours. Well, yes, they are. But also, we are blessed to be a blessing. I know one time, you know, I had the distinct privilege, obviously, of traveling with my grandfather, you know, for many, many years, and a lot of times on the road, especially in those latter years, we had Keith Moore would travel with us, and he would sing, and sometimes he would preach, and he preached a message one night called Too Much. You know, and some people think, well, too much is like, well, God really wants to bless me too much. But he said, you know what? God doesn't want to give you too much for you to have, you know, five cars and all these kind of things. He says, if you have an extra car, maybe let somebody else borrow it. And God gives you too much to be a blessing. He talked about that he had a boat and he got blessed with another boat. So he let an individual use his boat, said, you just use my boat. And after about 3 years, he finally said, I just gave him the boat because I wasn't using it. I mean, you know, what good is it going to do, you know, for me to, you know, for a boat to just sit there? Of course, some of us actually own boats that just sit there because we just don't use them anyway. That's kind of how it is. Sometimes we have to have this. And then when you want to use it, the battery's dead. There's cobwebs all over the place. Trust me, that was one of the things that we would have to do is clean the boat before we could use it. Anyway, not part of my sermon. Think about this for an example. You know, think about a river versus a pond. A pond only receives water but never gives out. So it becomes stagnant. But a river is always flowing. It receives, but it also gives. God wants us to live as rivers, not as ponds. You know, sometimes you see a pond and all of a sudden, you know, it's stagnant and becomes all green and moldy and things like that. Don't be a green and moldy Christian. If you don't want to be a green and moldy Christian, what do? Be a blessing to others. Now, you know, here, if you're just being a blessing to get a gold star, don't do that. Be a blessing because you just love people. You just want to bless others. You just want to, and I don't mean, every time I think about being a blessing, I always think about, well, I said God bless you three times when people sneeze. Well, good. But you didn't really care whether they got blessed or not. You just were saying something that you've been taught to say. And the reason you say that is because of the bubonic plague, by the way, if you want to know the truth. I looked it up on Google a long time ago. Because I'm like, why do people say God bless you every time someone sneezes? And the reason was back in the bubonic plague, when people would sneeze, they were like, God bless you, because they think you got the plague. So that's, there it is. So anyway, so it's not really a good thing. It's actually a bad thing. But we say God bless you. But do you really care that God blesses them or not? Just because they sneeze? Of course, I always say, if you want to be blessed all day long, carry some pepper. Put it on your nose every time you're around. And I guarantee you, people will say God bless you all day long. And they think you got COVID. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. All right. Anyway, so another way to be a blessing is with our words. All right, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Your words can be a blessing or a curse. You can either lift people up or tear them down. Choose to speak life, encouragement, and faith to people instead of tearing them down. You know, Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. But here's the thing, is that your thoughts control your speech. Do you realize before you say something, you think something? If you don't think about it, you're not going to say it. If you don't dwell on it, you're not going to talk about it. You know, we've all read this scripture over in Philippians. It says this, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Here's the deal. If you meditate on those things, you won't say mean things. Whatever you meditate on is what you speak about. Now we'll talk about branding. My Facebook feed has filled up over the weekend with nothing but Cracker Barrel stuff. Now, I think the logo's stupid, okay? I actually also, supposedly, my secretary, Miss Kim, says that they paid $1 million for that logo. My granddaughter, she's almost 12, she could have designed the logo. I'm like, man, I'm gonna go in the logo designing business because I could design a logo like that. The logo's stupid, all right? But you know what? Is it really worse all? I mean, do you know how many discussions I have seen about Cracker Barrel's logo? It's a waste of time. You know what I'd be more concerned about? If they changed their menu. Do you realize I could go to Cracker Barrel right now? And I thought about, man, you know, I have friends, you know, the Facebook friends, actually, some of them actually are, they're racing friends, and they, because they're travel quite a bit, they used to go to Cracker Barrel, but now they say they're never going to go to Cracker Barrel again because the logo changed. I'm thinking, man, I understand if the food changed, why you might not go. In fact, I almost went yesterday because I'm thinking nobody else is going, you know. But we're wasting our breath griping about Cracker Barrel's logo. Yes, the logo's dumb. Yes, and from a marketing standpoint, it's probably, you know, bad. You know, I know it ranks up there with the new Coke. For some of you that are older, I think in 1985 they came up with the new Coke. And guess what happened? The old Coke came back. But here's the thing. They didn't change the food. I didn't read one place where they said, we changed the menu. So it's dumb. Yeah, you can gripe about the logo one time and tell you, but then people are having long discussions. I mean, thousands of comments. I actually read more comments today about, now from a marketing standpoint, it's dumb, okay? It's stupid because you don't have the down-home feel. But you know what? Who cares? But I'm saying all of this to say sometimes that we talk about stuff that doesn't even really matter. We gripe about things that really is kind of petty. Well, that person wasn't nice to me today. So, maybe they woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe you talked to them before they had their coffee. You know, I don't tend to be a morning person myself. In fact, my sister actually was shocked the other day when I was in a good mood, when I actually, you know, showed up to church in a great mood. Not that I don't, you know, I'm just not a morning person. That's why I don't teach in the morning, because, you know, I just tend to, well, actually, I'm actually doing a lot better about being, well, people don't talk to me, number one, in the morning time anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But I'm just not, my sister's a morning person. She gets up at 5 a.m. or something stupid like that. What time do you get up? 5 a.m. Me and my mom go to bed at 5 a.m. In fact, at one point in time, I'm actually better about not going to bed that late, but I still go to bed. I don't think I've ever gone to bed before midnight. I mean, in a long time. I mean, I've gone to bed before midnight at some point in time in my life. But I mean, it's, you know, because God blesses people after midnight more than any other time of the day. That's what they used to say in the Pentecostal church when you're younger. That's why you'd stay till midnight. But anyway, I'm a late night person. I mean, you can call me at 2 a.m. I'm usually really happy, you know. So 2 a.m. I'm probably winding down going to bed. But it's, you know, we're all different. People are different. People think different, act different. And, you know, so here's the thing. You know, I found that there's certain people it's not worth arguing about. You know, there's certain people that think they're right on everything. And actually, there's a certain person I'm thinking of. They do not live in this state, so it's not, no one you're thinking about, all right? They're not in this room, But a certain person that, you know, they're like, they always thought they were right. So I got to a point like, why argue with them? Just let them talk. I don't care. Does it really matter whether they're right or not? It's not like they're going to hell or anything. So you know what? Just because they have an opinion, whatever their opinion, I just like agree with them and go on because it makes life a whole lot easier. Some people just like to argue. But we start arguing, I mean, is that being a blessing? You know, some people just put things on social media just to start arguments. A lot of them are ministers, some people that I know. Some people might be in this church, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, you know, why? Why do we just want to push people's buttons? You know, is that in the Bible that we should just push people's buttons, you know, just for argument's sake? No, we should be a blessing. Being a blessing is not speaking bad about somebody. Here's the thing. Well, yeah, but they said something mean about me. So? Did it really affect you? In life, here's the thing. Some people will like you and some people won't. I mean, what? And some people won't like you just because you're a Christian. Or you go to this church. All right? They should like you because we spend a lot of money on Christmas lights to make them happy during Christmas time. So they should love this church. Because I guarantee if we didn't put those Christmas lights on, they'd be griping about us like crazy. Do you know I still hear about Rockets Over Rhema every time I'm in the city? Man, we used to love Rockets Over Rhema. I can't believe you guys stopped it. I said, well, if you would have paid for it, maybe we'd keep it going. Everyone likes someone that's free. But anyway, you know, people are who people are. And sometimes we just have to learn, you know, that's just the way they are. They're a little more blunt. They're a little more bold. That's just the way they speak. And so instead of arguing with them, let's just be nice. You know, my mom taught me a lesson back when I was in seventh grade. I showed up in seventh grade, went to, I think it was second hour. I showed up at shop class. And I was going to mention the teacher's name, but he might still be alive, so I don't want to mention the teacher's name. You know, I was a seventh grader, and so we didn't have, you know, now they have middle school, sixth, seventh, and eighth. Back then, we actually had junior high, and it was seventh, eighth, and ninth grade. So we were the first grade of junior high school. So we sat down in our teacher's, you know, at shop class, and the first thing out of his mouth was, I hate seventh graders. You guys don't know anything. I mean, you know, he was old, cantankerous. That's why he might not still be alive. But anyway, but he's old, cantankerous, and just was not a nice person. All right, you know, and after the first day, a lot of people got out of his class. I actually got out of class. My mom told me I couldn't. Not only did I have him for shop, 6 hour, I had him for algebra. So I had this teacher twice. Two times a day, every day. Cantankerous old man that didn't like seventh graders. You know, and so mom just said, you know, just be a nice person. Don't. And said, the great thing about it is you're good at math. In fact, I actually was thinking about that. I never didn't make an A, you know, in math the whole time I took math from kindergarten through college. In fact, I don't know if I've ever made a B on an assignment or a test. In fact, Algebra 2 in high school, now you can't do this today because it would be discrimination. But what the teacher would do, after every test, he would reassign the seats. And the people who made A sat in this row, the people who made F sat in the row over here by the window. There was only four seats in the row, maybe five. I never moved out of the front row. I had a 98 average for that class. All right, I was good at math. Well, because I was good at math, that actually, you know, made him kind of, I guess, like me. Other side about it is I never pushed his buttons. Some of my friends, Hensley and Hicks, they would just push his buttons every day just to make him cantankerous, which would make them yell at all of us. You know,
But they just would do that. And they would, I don't know how many times they got referrals to go to the principal's office. I mean, you know, just because they just wanted to not be a blessing, okay? I mean, they would make him. But here's the thing. So this teacher, I mean, he was really strict and things like that. Well, so one of our shop deals is we made a barbecue fork. In fact, my parents liked the barbecue forks so much that they actually had some of the guys in the shop make more of them. You know, and we used them to roast marshmallows and weenies around the campfire, because at one time we had a motor home and we traveled, we'd go to RV parks and we would do those kind of things or whatever. But anyway, so I remember that, I mean, this teacher, I don't know how to say it, it was just, you know, he wasn't really nice and he was very strict. All right, well, for some reason, you know, you had to make sure your barbecue fork was completely straight and mine wasn't. And for some reason, I don't know why, but I missed a couple of days of school, and I knew when I went back, the first thing he was going to do, because I wasn't there the day we got graded, was he's going to ask me to pull my barbecue fork out and show him how straight it was. And mine wasn't. And I was not looking forward to going to school. Because this teacher was, you know, I'm like, man, I don't know. Because, you know, it wasn't just like he was going to, you know, everyone else had showed their forks. So I was going to be the only one. And knowing him, he like does things publicly. So, you know, I showed up, got my fork out of the thing, and you put it on the vise and show him how straight it is. And lo and behold, my stinking fork was straight. I don't know how. I actually think this teacher knew it wasn't straight, pulled it out, straightened it out. You know, I don't know. I believe that this person who's really mean and really rude to everybody did it for me to this day. Now, here's the thing. Do you know why, you know, he treated me different? Because I was just a nice person. Now, I didn't try to bring an apple a day or something like that. Maybe that would have been smarter for me to do. But, you know, just be a nice person sometimes. Sometimes being a blessing is just being nice, not saying anything mean, not trying to, you know, push buttons. You know, what I do is sometimes when people say things that maybe kind of hurt your feelings or whatever, I make excuses up for them. You know, I'm like, well, you know, maybe they're having a bad day, or maybe this or maybe that. I mean, you know, is it worth arguing? Now, you know, it's not worth arguing. But once again, your thoughts control your tongue. You know, I talked to, there's an individual that I know that they keep getting mad at over and over again about a certain situation. Well, you know why? Because they've saved text threads, and every once in a while they go back and read them. Well, when you go back and read them, then your thoughts start saying, you know, here's the deal. If there's something that's bothering you, quit thinking about it. If there's an argument on social media that's really, you know, bothering you, just don't go to the social media page. You know, I really don't care that Cracker Barrel changed their logo. That's really not my problem. If they change their food, then I'm going to gripe about it. All right? But as far as their logo, you know, yeah, it's dumb. But it's not worth my time to think about. You know, and I'm not saying people aren't worth your time. But being, you know, sometimes you just got to just forget about it. Just forget about it. You know, is it going to make you not get to heaven? I mean, you know, the old saying is, if you can't say anything nice, don't say it at all. I know there's a story, I think it's Brother Hagin tells, I've heard Mom tell this, repeat the story, but I think Brother Hagin's the first one who told the story about a guy who passed away, and they know him as the meanest man in town. He wasn't really nice about anything. Huh? Oh, Granddaddy told the story. Okay, it was Granddaddy. So my other grandfather, Brother Tipton, tells a story about this guy, and he was mean and rude, and no one really kind of liked him. But there was another guy who went to his funeral, and he always said something nice about everybody. So everyone's wondering, what is he going to say nice about this person? And they went and saw the casket, and this guy said, well, he did have nice teeth. I mean, he said something nice about it. I mean, you know, sometimes we just, Say things nice. So let's get off of that, all right? Point three, be a blessing in action. James 2:15 says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? It's not enough just to say nice words. We need to back them up with our actions. You know, sometimes we should actually, you know, just do things to be a nice person. I don't know if some of you remember a number of years ago, we had a thing called VIP. And we would encourage people, you know, just to do things nice and give them a VIP card. And if they want to, I mean, they could give a testimony. You know, they could go to our social media site and give a testimony. And the testimonies we got were incredible. I mean, you know, people would, you know, like go to McDonald's or go to Starbucks and they pay for the people's next to them, you know, behind them or whatever. You know, we had a single mom that actually said, you know, they were buying their kids some McDonald's. They didn't really have a whole lot of money and they were kind of even, you know, McDonald's might not be a whole that expensive, but they didn't really spend the extra money. And when they got up there, so what we did, we encouraged the drive-thru attendant to give them the VIP card. So they wrote, you know, it was just a blessing that somebody paid for my McDonald's. That wasn't a big deal. You know, at that time, this is before the economy was what, you know, food was expensive, it was probably only like $5 or $6. But it was a big deal to that person. Somebody else, you know, gave a testimony about how they had just left a funeral. They, you know, someone they were close to had passed away. They were really not in a good mood and they got, I can't remember if it was coffee or got, you know, a free thing. And it put a smile on their face. Just being a blessing to people. I know dad and mom, they tell a story about they were eating at an expensive restaurant and they saw the couple there and obviously they were there celebrating, you know, anniversary or something, and you could tell they didn't realize how expensive it was going to be. In fact, they even split their meal or whatever, and you could just tell. And so they paid for their meal. Just being a blessing. Now, let me say this too. Speaking of paying for your meal, you know, a lot of people do pay for, I get blessed a lot, and thank you for doing that sometimes, but I would rather you bless someone who can't afford to pay for their meal. You know, I mean, I know one time at Camp Meeting, Camp Meeting happens to be around my birthday, and so there was an individual who wanted to take me out for my birthday, take me out for dinner, for lunch, and so we went to lunch. Someone paid for our meal. He goes, okay, take you out tomorrow. Second day, someone paid for my meal. So he goes, I'll take you out tomorrow. So the third day, someone paid for a meal. He goes, I can't even buy you lunch. But anyway, you know, and that's great. I mean, thank you for being a blessing to us. You know what? But sometimes I'd rather you be a blessing to somebody that needs, I mean, not that I don't need to have a blessing. It's always nice, but you be a blessing to people. You know, the Matthew 5:16 says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, sometimes, like I said, once again, we just be nice. You know, every act of kindness, generosity, or service shines the light of Jesus to the world. You know, I've heard, you know, I think about these. I think about a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, some people who commit some heinous things, you know, like school shootings and things like that. What if someone was nicer to them? Because I've heard some of the kids that did school shootings, they said the reason they did it was because nobody cared about them at the school. They were always rude to them or whatever. You know, we just, it's back to school. I mean, some of you, you know, you youth and your children, you know, you're back in school. You know, there might be a new kid that doesn't know anybody. Why don't you be nice to them? Maybe sit with them. Maybe get to know them or whatever. Or even if they're not a new kid, maybe they're the kid that nobody wants to hang around. Does it really hurt to have lunch with them, to get to know them? And speaking of that, you know, maybe as an adult, you realize, so you know, maybe someone's here new to the church. Maybe they came in because there happened to be a Bible school student or whatever. If you see someone new, be friendly to them. You know, you could even, if you know that they, you know, you can see whether they're by themselves or whatever, say, well, hey, our family's going to go out to eat afterwards. You know, you want to come? I mean, you know, is that hard to be nice to people? I mean, it's being a blessing. It's just, it's really not hard to be a blessing. And, you know, being kind to people is being a blessing. It's okay to be nice. You know, a lot of people want to be a witness. They want to witness to people, but people don't want to be witness to people that a lot of people, they witness the wrong way. They talk about, like, I remember Brother John, he would come to Oklahoma State University every year to try to win someone to Jesus. And I don't think he'd want anybody to Jesus, because everyone he talked about, you know, these people are going to hell, those people are going to hell, everybody's going to hell, according to Brother John. Did you come to whenever you were there? See, Denise to shake his head. In fact, people would write, and in fact, some of the, was it Chi Alpha, the president, you know, tried to talk to him to say, hey, you know what, can you show forth love to people? You know, sometimes we try to witness in the wrong way. The best way to be a witness is to be nice to people. People don't care how much you know until they care how much you care. Do you really care about people? You know, I sometimes it really bothers me, because sometimes when we have these outreaches as witness, the people are actually trying to get people saved, not because they want them to go to heaven. They're getting people saved so they can win the contest or get the most people saved. You know, so they can get the gold star, like, hey, I witnessed to 15 people today. Well, God bless you. Are they in church this next week? Well, I don't know. I actually asked a guy one time who was over, thing. I said, hey, do you have any, like, names, phone numbers, anything? Oh no, you know, people don't like to give us their information. I'm like, so you have no clue whether, I mean, you know, just because I say the sinner's prayer, wouldn't it be nice to make sure that they learn more about, you know, well, you know, people don't want to give phone numbers. I said, you know what? I found out that most people, they might give you a fake phone number because they don't want you to call them, but they'll probably give you a real email. Or, you know, this is before social media was as popular as it is today. Now on social media, I mean, what's it hurt that you're their Facebook friend? Most of the time, yeah, you can send them a friend request immediately. So that way, you know, you can be there to be a blessing to them. You know, but we want to know why we're not able to witness to people, because people don't really think that you're really nice. All right. You know, Acts 10:38 says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. But I like to point out, the first thing it says is he did good before he healed people. Because if he wouldn't have done good, nobody would pay him any attention. Nobody would care what he says. In fact, I think some people actually think, well, you know, just because I'm rich or famous, and sometimes, you know, give some people some money, I can just be rude to people. I actually talked to an individual who said that he knew that he was a rude boss, so he paid his employees really well so that way they wouldn't leave. I mean, instead of changing his attitude, he just paid him enough because he had enough money to do it. You know, that's not good. We're running out of time. So point number four, be a blessing in spirit. You know, carry the presence of God wherever you go. You realize the greater one lives on the inside of you. You know, some people say, well, you might be the only Jesus that some people will ever see. Well, we hope I'm a good representation of that only Jesus, because some Christians are not. And in fact, if you actually have to advertise in the Christian Yellow Pages for people to know you're a Christian, that's an issue. You know, because people should know you're a Christian just by the way you carry yourself. You know, it goes on, it says, when you walk into a room, people should sense peace, joy, and love. Galatians 5:22, we all know this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, I always think about the word long-suffering. You know, not that we have to suffer for Jesus, unless we're getting a sunburn on the beach. But you know, long suffering, you know what? That means people can keep being rude to me and I'm just gonna be nice anyway. You know, the Bible doesn't say to treat people like they treat you. It says treat others how you wanna be treated. You know, repaying evil with evil doesn't do you any good.
It just causes more division and strife. You know, whenever we carry ourselves, I've had people, salesmen who have helped me, you know, maybe in a store or even a server at a restaurant or whatever. Now, obviously, if someone walks up to them, I'm a Rhema student or I'm a Rhema graduate, you know that. But a lot of times, I can just tell they're a Christian just by the way they carry themselves. You can just sense it. You can just feel it. And then a lot of times, you know, even at the end of your meal, a lot of times they'll say something like, be blessed or something like that. You know, instead of having a nice day or whatever. You know, you can just tell some people are Christians just by the way they carry themselves. You know, because the way you carry yourself changes your atmosphere. Do you realize if you have an argument with somebody and someone walks in the room right after it, you can feel it? And you can feel how people carry themselves. I mean, there is the way we carry ourselves, and that's why when we have great meetings where you can just feel the anointing when you walk in. You realize the anointing's not in this building until you walk in. You carry the anointing. You carry Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying and hurting world. The way you act, the way you do things, and I'm not saying we're not all perfect. I'm definitely not perfect, okay? I mean, and we're not all perfect. Sometimes we do say things mean or rude or whatever. You know what? We could actually apologize. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm just not the kind of person who apologizes. Why? You know, sometimes we can apologize even when we don't even think we're at fault. But we had a part to play in it. We kept it going. Do you realize when people send you a text message or whatever, you can respond or not respond. And the way you respond, and sometimes responding over text message is not good. Unless you use, you know, maybe use some emojis or whatever. I don't know, but people take things differently, whatever. You know, sometimes I just choose not to respond because if I can't say something nice, don't say it at all. So I'm just not going to respond. You know, sometimes you read things on social media. Do you have to respond? There's nothing said. Thus saith the Lord, you must respond. It's not part of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt respond to any kind of negative thing ever told about you. You know, one thing that people always said about my grandfather, he never responded to his critics. You know, and, you know, the one thing that I remember the most, and you have to realize that my grandfather gave very few interviews ever. In fact, Channel 6 did an explanation, you know, watch this on social media or whatever, one of the first few interviews that he ever did. But I remember back during the 80s, there was a number of minister scandals or whatever, and he was speaking in New York City, actually, and there was a cameraman, and they asked him, said, Brother Hagin, do you have any comment about some of these ministers going through a scandal? And he said, no comment, and then he turned and looked at the camera and said, I do have a comment, which is unusual for him. And here's his comment: putting another man's candle out will never make yours any brighter. That was his comment. And that comment has been, you know, words to live by. Putting somebody else's down is not going to make you any better. It's not going to lift you up. Tearing someone else down is not going to lift you up. If you want to say something about it, just pray for them. You're like, well, I would never do that. That's okay. You can still pray for them. Just pray for them. I mean, you know, it's, like I said, be a blessing, not a curse. All right, so when you live in the Spirit, you automatically become a blessing to those around you just by the way you carry yourself. Point five, blessings brings multiplication. We've all read this, Luke 6:38, given it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom, for with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. When you bless others, God makes sure blessings come back to you. We can't outgive God. He multiplies seed to you. But, you know, we don't just give to get. But, you know, sometimes you think, well, that's about putting into the, you know, giving to the church. You know, yes, it is, but you can also give to others. You know, we can be a blessing. Another way to be a blessing, you know, with our actions, I was going to say this earlier, you know, is volunteer. Here at the church, there's always things that you can do. All right? Maybe maybe you can't play an instrument. You know, maybe the best instrument you play is the radio. Then that's not the place to volunteer. But maybe you can smile. Then maybe you can be a greeter. All right, be a part of our connection team. Or maybe be an usher. Can you pass a bucket? Can you be nice? Can you not yell at everybody as they're going to sit down? You know, things like that. I mean, there are certain things. You know, can you do this? Maybe that's what, in order to be on the traffic team, first of all, you have to like hot and cold weather. Because Oklahoma, we only have two seasons, hot and cold. And then be able to do this. If you happen to actually be one of those airplane walkers at the airport, you would be a great traffic person. All right, so anyway. There are certain things you can do. You know, have you had kids? Then you can work in the nursery. You can work in the nursery. Well, I mean, I spent 18 years raising my kids. I don't want to help with anybody else's kids. Well, you know what? You know, I don't know how many times people actually, you know, talk to me this, you know, they tell me that they had the honor and privilege of actually, you know, working in the nursery when my kids were in the nursery. You know, they thought that's cool because they felt that they had a part in their life. You know, who never knows, you know, the person that's in your nursery might become the next president of the United States, not the next one, but years later, might become a senator, might become Billy Graham, might become, you never know. And it's because of the way you change their diapers. No, I'm just kidding. But they became, no, we can just be a blessing. You know, it is a blessing that, you know, some mom that has to put up with their child all week long, it's a blessing for them not to get called out every time, you know, that they come to church. It's a blessing for them to have a break. But, you know, if we don't have people working in the nurseries, then we're like, well, you're sorry, we can't do it. You know, you can be a blessing. You know, we can volunteer to other things as well. You know, in closing, the call today is simple. Don't just ask the Lord to bless me. Ask the Lord to make me a blessing. Blessing to your family, a blessing to your church, a blessing to your workplace, a blessing to the strangers in need. Remember, you may be the only Jesus someone ever sees. Live in such a way that others encounter his love through you. Acts 20:35 says this, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So I just want to encourage you, church, be like Brother Hagin. Ask the Lord every day, Lord, make me a blessing to somebody today. Maybe just saying hi and being nice is a blessing to somebody. You know, maybe, you know, just showing up is a blessing. Be a blessing to a lost and dying and hurting world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for blessing us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Today we make the decision to be a blessing to others with our words, our actions, and our resources, and our very lives. Use us as vessels of your love and channels of your goodness. We thank you, Father. Help us to be a light to a lost and dying and hurting world. Help us not just to walk by people and not be a blessing. You know, sometimes just saying hi or smiling is a blessing enough. But help us to be a blessing to this world. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But today you can. If you happen to be in this room and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, today you can make him Lord and Savior of your life. It's hard to be a blessing when you don't know Jesus. Today you can meet him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here in this room and said, I've never been saved, I want to be saved this morning, lift your hand, we want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here in this room and my grandfather talks about having a know-so experience. You need to know you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You know, just because you live in a garage does not make you a car. So maybe you've been in church a long time, but you don't know whether you've ever accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior or not. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, you know, I know Jesus. I've known Jesus, but I've kind of turned my back and walked away. And to this morning, I want to publicly rededicate my life to the Lord. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. On any one of those invitations, if you've never been saved, or if you want to rededicate your life to God, or if you want to have a no-so experience, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. We want to give it a few moments. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here in this room. We thank you, Father, right now that if anyone is here, does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path. We thank you, Father, that they will be saved. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. I just want to encourage you once again, church, to be a blessing. Not just today, but all the time. You know, because sometimes you hear a message and you're like, okay, I'll be a blessing today. Well, that's great. What about tomorrow? Oh, there is somebody? So there is somebody up in the balcony. Come on down here. Don't, you know. Amen. Sorry I didn't see you, but we, you know, let's sing something as they come down, so they'll give them some time.
The altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was won with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar.
Amen. Well, while this person's coming down, if there's anybody else that you know you should have raised your hand but you didn't, come on down here. You know, sometimes it takes somebody to break the ice. So if that's you, if you need to rededicate your life, or maybe you've never been saved, or maybe you don't know whether you're saved or not, the altar is still open. You know, one of the best things, amen, it's a life-changing time. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Come on down here. I know it's a long walk, but praise God, today is a great day. Amen. Just stand right here in front of me. Amen. What's your name?
Faith.
Faith. All right. Well, she has faith. Amen. Praise God. Today is a life-changing moment. You're coming for rededication, I'm assuming. Is that what you're coming for? Amen. You know, as a kid, a lot of times, you know, we get toys, and then we put them on the shelf and don't play with them a long time, but then sometimes there's a time we start playing with our toys again or whatever. And that's kind of what you did. You know what? Maybe at one time you walked with the Lord, but you kind of put them on the shelf. But today is a new day. Today we're changing our life. Amen. It's kind of like your Christmas day where you get to open that present that God has for you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray with you right here. And then I'm going to ask you to go to a place, and they're going to pray with you more. They're going to give you some stuff. And I'll give them we have some books that we're going to give you. We have some material we're going to give you. Amen. But today, your life will change. All right, Faith? It's okay if I lay my hands on you. Father God, we thank you for Faith. We thank you, Father, for her life. We thank you, Father, for forgiving her all our sins, Father. We thank you, Father, for her rededication to you, Father. We thank you, Father, for from this day forward, she'll never, ever be the same again, Father. We thank you that you're working in her life right now. We thank you that it's a life-changing moment, a monumental moment in her life, Father. We thank you for Faith. We thank you for the call that you have on her, Father. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith, can you just turn this way? Can you just go with them for a few moments? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Amen. Amen. You know, obviously it's a long walk. It's a long thing. But today is a new day for her in her life. Amen. So while you're thinking about it, you know, one way to be a blessing is to pray for people. And, you know, we just prayed for Faith. But maybe this week, you know, just say a prayer for Faith.
She changed her life today.
Amen? Amen. Well, you know, first of all, if you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you today. The Connection team is in the aisle. They want to take you to the North Lobby real quickly. We have a gift for you. The pastors are headed to the doors. You know the way we dismiss around here? They'll be at the different doors. You can look on your screen. Obviously, the North Door, we're having construction, so no one's going to be at the North Door. I'll actually be at the East Door with Pastor Bill. And you can see that right there. Amen. Your homework this week and every week is to go be a blessing to a lost and dying and hurting world. See you back here tonight at 6 p.m. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day.
Oh my God, so good.